The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
Morning, John. Good morning.
And, of course, Christina Liu. I mean, we've had a whole different format, thanks to Dan Cox, since this whole thing has hit. And we do Zoom meetings and then broadcast it on Fridays. And it really has been working out fine. The one thing that has changed is the Christina Liu show has gone to an hour because we have general conversation, which is, it's informative. I mean, at this point in time, people enjoy hearing what other people are doing. Today actually is a little unusual. We're having my partner, Peter Janowski, on. And you know, I don't even know how many people know, but we're financial advisors, full service financial advisors. And we do two different things. I deal more with individuals and seniors. We have a large senior base. And Peter does more with pension plans and not-for-profits and museums, et cetera, which I've never said before. A little bit of my background is I have an associate degree from SUNY Farmingdale. And then I went to St. John's for my bachelor's and master's in economics and finance. And then I went to College of New Rochelle for a master's in gerontology with a postgraduate degree in thanatology, which is the study of death. And then I went on to the Brookdale Center for Healthy Aging at Hunter for my Article 81, which is guardianship. So I come at it from that perspective. Peter is an accredited investment fiduciary. And that's huge. I don't have that. He has that. And what that means is this. If something is suitable to an investor, and I think it's a big thing today, and because he has it, we as a team are responsible. But if somebody, if I think that a bond fund, okay, a corporate bond fund is suitable for somebody, I can sell you one. Now, there's two of them. Just say there's two. One is a 5% commission and one is a 1% commission. I'm not an accredited investment fiduciary. So I can sell you the 5% one. Because Peter is, he has to sell you the 1% one. Suitability is only one piece of it. The other side of it is what's in your best interest. And that's why one of us had to go for the test. And of course, he did, not me. But that's a very important thing. And with people out here looking at stuff, I think those are important things to consider. Today, I want to talk with Peter in reference to what people are going through. I know Otto had some questions we're going to talk about, but just the fear of what's going on in the markets. We had a tremendous drop, a pretty significant recovery, but Disney China opened, I think, 2 days ago, 24,000 people versus 80,000. You know, if you own Disney stock, that's going to be a while. This is an opinion. I shouldn't say it. The world has changed. So the question is, do your investments need to change, or what in your life is the same to keep the same investments? All right, Peter.
Yeah. Well, so you can hear me through this, right?
Yeah.
Audio is good. All right. So, you know, John just mentioned Disney and the demand for Disney. So what happened there is Disney opened a theme park in China. And it was an immediate sellout, despite the lowering of amount of people allowed into the park at one time. And I'm sure everybody is watching the news and sees what's going on with the markets, the unemployment numbers. And let's just say, candidly, there's a lot of surprises. I think there's a lot of surprises for the average investor. I think there's a lot of surprises for the institutions. I think there's even surprises for people in our industry. You know, we had market lows on March 23rd, and the bounce back has been stellar, if you want to call it stellar. It's also been unexpected. You know, the scary, I wouldn't say scary part, but the thing people have to understand about the bounce back in the broad markets is that it's very few stocks leading this bounce back, right? This is not broad. There is a lot of sectors that are hurting. There's a lot of small companies that are hurting, mid-sized cap companies, but the large mega stocks, the internet stocks, the Facebook, the Google, the Amazon, that's what's really leading this. So if you had a balanced portfolio, you might not have the entire bounce back here in the short term, but that's okay. We always have to remember that a balanced portfolio that's set up to meet one's goals, whether it's growth or income or a combination of both, a balanced portfolio is the best way to combat volatility. Would the people panic out a month ago? Absolutely. You know, 2 months ago, you know, March 23rd was a low. And, you know, candidly, John and I, our business is...
Okay, I'm just jumping in.
Yeah.
We're not saying March 23rd, whatever it was the low. We're not making any predictions.
No, but in
the last 2 months, it has been the lowest point. That's
right.
All.
I mean, we're using March 23rd as a reference point because that's when it seemed like everything caved in. And that was a short-term low from you know, going back a year or two, if you want to look at a chart. But it was interesting in the fact that the type of business that John has, most of our clients, we have a lot of seniors, we run a lot of 401k plans and retirement plans. We did not get those panic calls. If we had two or three calls at the most, it was a lot because our portfolios were already set up to be balanced, not to feel these ups and downs in the market. I'm going to just bounce around a lot because yeah, obviously there's no script, but
let me jump in.
Yeah,
I'll jump in from the point of view is he said our clients. What happens when an individual is looking for a financial advisor? That's the most significant part of the homework, okay? You have to interview these people. You just can't turn around and say, my friend said go to XYZ, because your friend could be a very high roller and be shooting the dice all the time. You, anybody out there listening, has to take the time to interview the person you may think is the person you want to deal with, because it's really your wealth management. They should be going over your estate, your insurance. It's not just stocks and bonds. They have to sit down with you and turn around and try to point out where you can improve things. Okay. And that's pre or post retirement. Things are always fluid. You could turn around and say, this is a little too risky for you at this age. Why are you doing this? Now you might turn around and say, I have such tremendous monthly income that anything I do is for my grandkids someday, and I don't really care what happens in the interim. That's fine. That's very individualized. And that's the importance of, in my mind, of dealing with a financial advisor who works with you. And for the people out there, you have to push whoever you're working with, okay? You have to push them. You have to have them make a house visit and say, well, unfortunately, not now, but when the time is right, just say, I want to sit down with you. I want to go over everything with you. There's no charge for that. You know, however they're charging you, you might as well get the best bang for the buck, so to speak, and have them come over and do a full review of what you have and what you're trying to accomplish. Those are the two biggest things.
Right. I'd like to say that what John is trying to say is that who's ever giving advice, he needs to know exactly where everything is in other places. It's very common for people to have more than one financial advisor or investments in different places. Some people like to do a little bit on their own. They might have mutual funds or old retirement plans left over from previous employers. If the financial advisor doesn't know every single part of that person's life, then they're not really serving the purpose. They have to know what types of insurance are in place. Like John mentioned, maybe you're investing for future generations. Is it going to be for your grandchildren? But still, are there other grandparents doing the same thing? You don't want to become redundant. So you could probably come up with 10 to 20 questions to do a real financial plan and make sure that the investor and the advisor, whoever it is they're working with, are all on the same page. Sometimes it even requires talking to the person's accountant. What if it's a business owner? What if they want to install a retirement plan? What if the retirement plan is too expensive? Every it's like a web. Everything connects to each other, and the more the advisor knows, the better off they are, especially for the client.
How do you, looking at it from a outside look, how would somebody be able to judge if this person is somebody that they can really count on, as opposed to somebody who's really just selling something in the back? You know, in other words, they have a game plan for themselves all the way back there somewhere. How do you, you know, how, what kind of questions do you ask? How do you dig into that?
Well, first of all, there's nothing wrong with asking for references and referrals and recommendations. You could say, hey, listen, do you mind if I speak to a couple of your clients or something like that? Another sign right off the bat, like when you just mentioned, what if this person's just looking to make some money for themselves and not really care? A first sign of that is when you get into it, if there's a proposal and if it seems like there are, I hate to use the word product, but I can't really describe it better. But if there's a proprietary product, in other words, if this person works for a firm and it seems like a lot of the recommendations are the firm's products, that could be a sign that they may be getting paid more on it. I'm not here to disparage any firms like that. I mean, some tremendous, you know, some wonderful, great firms out there, big names, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch. You know, John and I met 20 years ago. We were working for Morgan Stanley, but now things have changed a little bit. So, you know, I'd like to think that what we do, being completely independent, we don't have an allegiance to one company's products or one firm. We don't get paid any more or any less on whatever we're putting into someone's portfolio. But there's all sorts of questions you could ask, Otto. How often you expect to call me? How often are we rebalance? Are we going to meet once a year? Are we going to meet twice a year? Whatever you're comfortable with, you should ask. And everybody's different. There are some clients that want to talk to us once a year and that's it. There are some clients that call us once a week. Everybody's different. But you have to use, believe it or not, you have to use your intuition. It's a lot about the relationship. It's all about communication. If you genuinely think that the person you're talking to is not absorbing what you're saying, and this could go for almost anything in life, anyone you're working with, right? If they're not really absorbing what's going to keep you up at night and understanding what your real goals are, it's probably not a good fit. The same thing is like if a house painter came in and you're trying to describe a color and they're coming up with something with a completely different shade, they're not listening. It's really, that's what it comes down to these days is just that relationship to understand.
Well, you know, you're hitting targets that I was in sales all my life. And I used to preach to people that trust and honest communication are two big factors, no matter who you're dealing with. You could be dealing with somebody fixing your car or a painter or an investment advisor or whoever. But the bottom line is, I agree 1,000%. I think you have to go by your gut a little bit. Do you feel comfortable with that person? And I agree.
And you know what? It works for the advisor too. If somebody's going to sit there and say yes to everything, to me, that kind of sounds off a little bit. Because if you came to us and you said, hey guys, I want to start doing options. I want to start doing straddles and calls and all sorts of spreads in the market. Probably gonna say, you know what? That's not for us. It's probably not a better idea that we don't get involved. It works both ways.
Well, one of my favorite answers.
Adam. We're gonna take a break. We'll come back with you. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.